Hello, and welcome to the Superhero by Design podcast, a show where we interview real-life superheroes. My name is Ace, and I'll be your host. Today, we're going to meet a man who battles one of the supervillains whom we all fight. The foe I am alluding to is none other than Uncle Sam. This superhero, however, uses his superpowers to educate and empower us so we don't fall victim to this villain. Let's give a Superhero by Design welcome to Brett Swartz. Brett, welcome to the show.
Ace, thanks for having me here.
Hey, thanks for being on, man. I really appreciate it. For everybody listening, Brett is a tax expert who has dedicated his professional life to helping others break out of the capital gains tax jail. He is the founder of Capital Gains Tax Solutions, host of the Capital Gains Tax Solutions podcast, and a commercial real estate broker in both California and Florida. For more information on him and his services, check out his website at capitalgainstaxsolutions.com. You can follow him on Instagram at Brett_Swartz or on YouTube at Capital Gains Tax Solutions. All right, Brett, good morning to you, sir. How are you doing this beautiful morning?
Ace, and better than I deserve. It's another beautiful morning here in sunny Florida.
Well, I'm glad you're in Florida because this is probably the earliest recording I have done to date. And if you were in California, man, it would have been a bright and early morning for you.
Texafornia is a tough morning there in the morning. But yeah, we just moved out here 6 months ago. So it's good to be on the other side of tax for sure.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, I made the leap from California myself about 5.5 years ago. And I found myself in a pretty similar tax situation state as far as no capital gains for state tax, at least here in the wonderful state of Tennessee as well. But yeah, you know, I do have a brother though who still lives in the Sacramento area. So he has not made the jailbreak, so to speak. And I know we're not going to spend this whole time bashing on California, but from a tax perspective, that's a pretty huge change going from California to Florida, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we love California for all the really good reasons. But yeah, one of the tough things is just they just have a high tax, and that's where kind of all this whole story starts. So when you're ready, we could dive into all that.
Oh, no, I'm totally down, and we will definitely get into taxes, and I am super excited about that. Anybody that's in real estate or entrepreneurship or anything like that, taxes are such a huge part. And even the W-2 person, there are many things, and trust me, I am not an expert. That's why I'm getting someone like yourself on. But even the W-2 people can definitely benefit from what you have to offer, your superpower, so to speak. But before we jump into that, I'd like to just have the audience get to know a little bit about you. How did you even get into taxes? And yeah, just give us a little bit of background, where you came from and how you got here.
Yeah, I think it fits well for the ordinary, you know, maybe becoming the superhero, but not because I was studying to be the superhero tax person, right? I was just honestly a guy who grew up with my parents in the Bay Area of California building houses and had a chance to then study and practice multifamily brokerage. My brother was the first to graduate college in any side of the family. I was the second. He was just 2 years ahead of me. And I started to fall in love with commercial real estate investing, multifamily investing, played some hoops in college. But, you know, I just more of the A to B student, you know, wasn't too high on school per se. I always loved math, always loved, you know, competition and teams and history and ways to do things more efficiently. You know, if my personality type, motivation, something that motivates me is something that can be more efficient. And always looking for ways to do things smarter, not harder, right? That's just kind of been my ingrained in me at a young age. As well, learning how to work really, really hard through real estate development and building, right? And so taking those two things and then moving ahead, I started to sell commercial real estate. And I was just the guy barely making it. In fact, 2008 hit, and that was when I was just getting all my things going, all the dreams are coming true, right? With graduating from college and a big, big prestigious, you know, commercial real estate firm, that the whole market came crashing down. And during that time, I think that's when we learned about, you know, what we really cared about. And this time I'm married, you know, my wife and I, first baby's on the way. And now we're looking through this whole thing of, oh my gosh, what are we going to do to make ends meet? And as a commercial real estate broker at the time, and I still am, I was making next to nothing. And we're looking around, people are saying, go get a real job. What are you doing? What are you? And I said, well, I just think this is a great time to be learning and growing. And if I can make it through this, I can make it through any market. But at the same time, my clients, friends, and family are losing half or everything. In fact, at this point, I'm in Sacramento, and Sacramento is one of the biggest boom bust cities in America, especially during the 2008 crash. In fact, Lincoln, California, which is in Sacramento, was the fastest growing city in America in 2006. And so that's right. I live right next to Lincoln and Rose Hill, Rockland. So fast forward, we're trying to figure this out. So we get a side hustle at a place called Cheesecake Factory, nights and weekends, working, 60, 70 weeks. By day, I felt like I was the superhero in the sense that I was at Marcus and Millichap, the big tie on, the whole thing. And by night, I would wear that same tie to Cheesecake Factory, but I would duck into this place. And I was kind of, at the time I was embarrassed because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm failing, although it was a great experience. I learned a ton about service and systems and processes. And the person who hired me said, look, if I'm going to hire you, I don't want you to close a real estate deal for $50,000, just walk away. And he goes, if I hire you, I want you for here for 2 years, no matter what. And I said, no matter what happens, I'll be there for 2 years. And so that began this journey. During this journey, it's ups and downs. It's a 2-year journey. My wife and I, really figuring out what we're going to sacrifice for our dreams and for our future, going into debt and living with my brother in a small condo. And then all of a sudden I met somebody, and this somebody talked to me about something that could have saved the pain for my clients, friends, and family who are losing half or all of their wealth, a lot of it commercial real estate, because they were 1031 exchanging and overpaying for properties and taking on too much debt, not enough liquidity. And they knew they were overpaying, and we knew they were too before the crash, but we felt like there's no way out. We felt like the big villain, was this big capital gains tax. And in California, for example, it's about 37% state and federal minimum. And then you have depreciation recapture, which can stick to 40, 45, or 50% of your total gain, which often means your total net proceeds, depending on how much debt they have on the asset. And this became the number one thing we always talked about. We would just call people and they say, well, if you can find me an Upleg, or you can find me a 1031 property, or I wish I could, but I have too much debt, or I wish I could, but I have too much tax. And so it just became this roadblock for everybody. It's like, wow, I wish I had a superpower to help them overcome this. I could do a whole lot more business. And then that's when we started learning about, my manager had a gentleman speak about the deferred sales trust, which we're going to be talking about here in a minute. And that became the superpower strategy that could eliminate the 1031 exchange. And all of a sudden, it's like a light bulb went off, and I'm going, wow, if we would have had this a couple of years ago, at this point, it's 2009, and it's kind of too late. And so I start telling this story to potential clients. I'm using it as an interest generator to try to get meetings. And that was the whole goal. You get on the phones, you're calling 200 to 300 calls a week, and you're basically trying to encourage people to meet with you so that you can help them solve the problems. And they're going, who are you? You barely closed any business. I go, look, I think I got a superpower, or at least I know superpower strategy. Let me come tell you about it. And someone would laugh, someone would hang up, someone would take the meeting. And more and more take the meeting. And so my business started to grow. Fast forward, this is all I talk about, is the deferred sales trust. And now we just plan with people across the country how to win business with this, how to unlock capital from people who feel trapped by capital gains tax. And it really does feel like it's a superpower for capital gains tax exit planning. It also eliminates estate tax. I was able to retire from the Cheesecake Factory. My wife and I have 5 kids. She's been able to stay home full time the entire time throughout this entire process, which is one of our family goals. And now we had a chance to move to Florida and travel a lot and do the things that we want to do to help a lot of people. So that's the full superhero story.
Man, that is an incredible story. I love what you talked about taking the job at Cheesecake Factory, working nights doing that, committing to the 2 years, because a job like that, I used to work as a busboy at the Outback Steakhouse. And it was like, once something better came along, it was like, boom, I'm out. But at the same time, I love how you embraced something that on the surface, you started off a little embarrassed, you had said, about working there and all of that. But you also saw the value that comes with an organization like that, the systems, the processes, interacting with people, sales, all of those amazing things. And so you took something that on the surface did not look that appealing, but you made the most of it. And I'm guessing that you wouldn't be where you are today without that job.
100%. And more than that, I wouldn't be the person I am today without having to go through the challenges of things that I didn't necessarily want to do or want to be a part of, you know, because I thought my, you know, the dream and everything that was there was just grinding through the same, you know, same cold calls, the same systems with Marcus Millichap, which was amazing too, by the way, their training and everything there. And I was growing, right? And so financially speaking, we were failing, but, you know, leadership and development and character and grit for our family and for what we were going through, we were thriving, right? Or at least we were growing, right? And so the chance to be able to thrive. And so, yeah, we found when we worked harder on ourselves, the other things, you know, the finances eventually come, right? If you have enough, you know, support. We had a ton of support from my brother, from my family, from her family. The Lord blessed us with a great church to be part of a community. All of those things coming together, now we're on this side. But I always share that story because people go, oh my gosh, the success you have now. It's like, let me tell you where it really started, right? Let me tell you when I was like, you know, ducking out of my car because I'm trying to list a property from a guy who's a $3 million building. And he's in the room I'm serving on. I'm having to tell the server next to me to go serve that table because he sees me. There's no way I'm getting the listing, right? And all of these things, right? It was tough, but it was good. And so, yeah, 2 years and a day, and then the day I was able to retire, and it worked out. And we still love the Cheesecake Factory; it's one of our favorite places to eat. A lot of good friends there.
Oh, I agree. Their avocado egg rolls are amazing. Their cheesecake, obviously, is the best I think ever. I freaking love their cheesecake. So I can go on and on about Cheesecake Factory. I love that place, but. No, I appreciate you sharing that too, because I, you know, real quick about me, like I worked for a contractor, multiple degrees as a structural engineer. And the first 6 months that I worked for that guy, he threw me literally under a house and said, I don't want you coming out from under this house until you have learned what this trade is, earn the respect of the guys in the field and learn how things are in the field. And it took me a good 6 months of just crawling around, mixing concrete under houses, doing demolition on a jackhammer, and kind of the same thing, just learning the process of construction. And here I have multiple degrees and everything, and kind of similar things went through my head, like, why the heck am I doing this? But it's those invaluable lessons, that growth that you get from literally being in the trenches, fighting the battles every single day. And that's really what makes us able to get to where we are, because if it was easy, if we coasted, if we took the nice cush job and did it that way, we would not have the grit and the battle scars and really everything that got us to where we are today and propelling us forward.
Yeah, and I think it's all a gift, actually. It's a gift to be able to go through that, because now you're right. Well, now when I'm going to help other people who are going through financial challenges or just changes in their world, from either from being an active investor to retired or even just being a new entrepreneur with what we do, it's that emotional fortitude to say, yeah, I've been where you've been in certain ways and I can relate. And it propels us forward to go make a difference and to continue on, right? If it were easy to get here, in a lot of ways, it may be easy to walk away, right? But the more challenging, it also clarifies and focuses the passion and the gifts that we've been given to be a blessing and help to others through those desert times, through those challenging mountains we have to climb. And that's the gift, right? That's the journey that now we have an opportunity to go make a bigger impact for other people. And that's the cool thing. And then you get to build a business along with others and team members, and then get to meet so many other people. And so, yeah, it's actually a really big blessing. And you're right. Had I walked away from the 100% commission, Marcus Millichap, and the side hustle Cheesecake Factory and got a bank job at like 50K or 75K, I think my life would be a lot different. I think I'd be also, part of me would have died inside, the entrepreneurial spirit, yeah. the drive and the passion to do something big and make a big impact. So I'm actually very grateful for that season. Well, at the time, it's not easy to go through, for sure. But but blessed to be at this part of my life now.
Yeah, it sounds pretty amazing though, too, because you had mentioned your wife a couple times, like you guys lived with your brother and all of that. And I'm sure she played a very paramount part in this whole journey, supporting, working right there alongside you.
She's really the superhero in this story, right? Because think about that, right? Five children, we've been married 14 years, and our oldest will be 13 here in like a month. And basically, like, you're going, wow, like, and she said yes so many times to our family and or to me, and rather putting her things, more of her things on hold, like buying the house right away or living by ourselves in our own apartment right away. I mean, we did that at first. We first got married and then we had to move with my brother when everything started crashing. So, I mean, yeah, there were so many things financially that she believed that in the future we could reap if we just sacrifice now. And so, yeah, that without her, none of this would be possible. So,
yeah, no, that's incredible. Well, I would love to keep talking about mindset and stories and all of that, but I definitely want to get into the meat and potatoes of the subject. Now, being in real estate myself for the last decade, I am very familiar with a 1031 exchange, what it is. I haven't done one before, but there's tons of good companies out there that provide it. And for everybody listening, the long story short of a 1031, like you alluded to before, the problems with a 1031 is you're able to sell, let's say, a piece of real estate and not get that capital gains. And you do that by buying. There's lots of rules. There's tons of rules, but one of the rules is you have to buy something that's like it and that's more expensive. And that's kind of the big rule there is you're building up. So you're going from maybe a single family home to a bigger single family home or a small duplex or something like that. So it has to be more expensive. And the problem with that though, too, is there's all these time constraints, I know. And so people like, it's like this game where you have to sell your property at one point, but you have to have these other properties lined up. But as we know in real estate, there's obviously no guarantee that of anything. So a lot of people that even go through the 1031 exchange find themselves not meeting all the criteria. And if you don't check every single box, boom, you're penalized, capital gains hit you, it's all done. And I understand it's a great method, a great strategy. A lot of people use it. But you had talked about something that I have honestly, in 10 years, I love real estate. I love learning about real estate. I have never heard of this before. And I believe you referred to it as a deferred sales trust. Is that correct?
Correct. Exactly right.
Can you jump into one, what that is, and then what the advantages and disadvantages of that method is?
Absolutely. So a deferred sales trust is an alternative to a 1031 exchange. It eliminates the need for the 1031 exchange. And it unlocks freedom and flexibility for your wealth plan. So you can create and preserve more wealth. So you can be either passive or active. So you can diversify into different asset classes at any time. And it sounds like a magic trust is what most people say. Oh my gosh, that sounds like it's too good to be true, right? Are you telling me I can sell out a cryptocurrency or a primary home or commercial real estate, defer the tax and invest back into cryptocurrency, commercial real estate at any time or the stock market at any time? Yes, yes, and yes. Can I be a developer, develop with the funds, don't have to do equal or greater value? Yes. So I have to take on any equal or greater debt? No. Can I sell high and buy low? Yes. Can I just sit in the bank and T-bills and earn 5%? So the first thing to understand is it's a strategy that allows basically what the 1031, most of it, what it doesn't allow, right? And so if you're familiar with the 1031, we call it the shotgun wedding. You have 45 days to identify, 180 days to get married, and you're typically running around with your hair on fire trying to find a deal and try to squeeze a deal with cash flow because the tax flow is forcing you into something. And whenever we're being forced to make decisions under quick timeframes, we tend to make poorer decisions or less than ideal decisions. So yes, we love 1031 exchanges when you can find a deal that makes sense. But remember, 1031 only qualifies for investment real estate. So the first thing you need to understand is what are you selling and what strategy actually qualifies. So we just did a cryptocurrency exit before the crash, $54,000 a coin of Bitcoin for a client who had 50 million of Bitcoin. She sold 5 million into the deferred sales trust because why? A, 1031 didn't qualify for crypto, but B, she wanted to use the funds to do a startup company, to be an entrepreneur. You see, she worked for a big tech company. She was building their dream, but she had an opportunity to work with her college roommate and make an impact for education online, like a Khan Academy. So she used the funds to fund this startup from the trust of the startup. Amazing, right? Where she would have paid about $2 million of tax. She deferred about $2 million of tax, used about four of the five to start the startup, and then to unlock the freedom with the other part of it for some more flexibility with capital. And so that's the beauty of the deferred sales trust. It's just an installment sale people wondering, like, how does this work? It's like a seller carryback. In fact, AC, you may already know about a seller carryback, right? Where you as a seller can carry paper for a buyer, or you as the buyer can ask the seller to carry paper, meaning they become the bank and they defer the tax until they receive it. It's a great way to sell on terms, is known as an installment sale or seller carryback or a land contract, something like that. That is what the structure foundation is. It's IRC 453. And that structure goes back over close to 100 years now. And that's coupled with a business trust where there's a third-party trustee. Hi, my name is Brent Swartz. I'm a third-party trustee. It's our company, Capital Gains Tax Solutions. And we're kind of like a 1031 company where instead of the funds going to a qualified intermediary, it goes to this third-party trust ACE that only does business with you. It's kind of like a mini 1031 company that only does business with you. Right. And so you are deferring the tax because what you sold your asset to this trust in exchange for the trust to pay you back slowly over time. You did it on terms. Right. And the trust ultimately sold it to the buyer for the same price that you're ready to sell it to them anyways for. And it's in that sequence, all typically in the same day close of escrow, that what's left is the trust bought and sold for the same price. No gain. You received an installment. You receive a promissory note, which is the trust is going to pay you back in installments, which means you're not paying tax until you actually start receiving payments back. And that's the beauty. All of a sudden, we're no longer in the 1031 rules. We're in the 453 rules, which gives us tons of flexibility to do what we want to do. Now, guess what? Who the villain is on this story, right? As much as I love the 1031 and we have some great companies that we work with, there's also some out there that, let's say, they're more like the villains, right? Meaning they don't want you to know about this. In fact, they want to keep you in the 1031. We've been taught that they bang the drum, 1031, swap until you drop, get the stepped up basis. That's the end all be all. And they bang this drum over and over and over. There's 5,000 of these companies. And it's just little of us. There's just a couple groups that actually do this. Little of us that does this. And oh my goodness, could you imagine they don't want you to know about this, right? A lot of commercial real estate brokers don't want you to know about this. In fact, during my start, it's interesting. I learned about this at Marcus & Millichap, the number one commercial real estate brokerage in the country. I learned about this there. But when the new manager came in after the old guard was pushed out, he told me to stop talking about it. I'm like, why? He's like, well, we do 1031 exchange. I'm like, well, don't we solve clients' problems and help them create and preserve more wealth? And it's basically his thesis was, no, we do that through 1031 exchanges because that's how we get paid. Because guess what? The funds, kind of like old school Wall Street, right? They want to keep you in the IRAs and the 401ks because that's where they make the money. The old school 1031 brokers, they want to keep you in the 1031s. Now, some of them are doing this consciously. It's just the system they're in, right? But that's how they get paid, by keeping real estate money in real estate money, which I love real estate. That's my love. That's my number one thing. But I love real estate at optimal timing. I love real estate, by the way, with a new depreciation schedule, the way we structure it, we can get that. I love real estate when I don't have to take on a bunch of bad debt, because right now we're in a situation where we have great NOIs, great occupancies, especially for multifamily. You know, there's some insurance challenges that are going on, right? But we have terrible debt situation. And so it's an imbalance. So bad debt can make a great deal go south. And so guess what we want to do? You want to wait till the sellers and buyers have an equilibrium. And you don't want to sell high and buy into a bad debt deal. That might take 6 or 12 months. And we're actually seeing it come down. And that's when you strike with the trust. You can buy back into real estate whenever you want. So when I figure this out, I'm looking around the office and I'm going, is anyone else hearing what this guy is saying?
Right.
Like, he has Netflix and we're all stuck in Blockbuster. But most people thought I was crazy, right? And so this new manager told me to stop talking about it. And if I didn't, he'd have to push me out of the firm. Like, I'm probably leaving anyways because I don't really want to work for somebody who doesn't allow new strategies to solve people's problems. But it became the next thing, which is like the prophet's not accepted in his hometown, Ace. I would talk to people and they would laugh and they would say, aren't you just that regular multifamily broker? And, you know, aren't you just a multifamily agent that's just new in the business? I'm like, yeah, but I met a guy who told me about something that I think was Netflix. And they're like, oh, that Netflix thing will never work. My CPA doesn't know about it. I'm okay with Blockbuster, right? And I said, okay, well, consider the future. That became this journey. And then I go like, you know what? I'm going to hop on YouTube. I'm going to hop on podcasts. I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to try to spread this across the country because the hometown thing is not as popular. Although we have done a lot of deals in Sacramento and the Bay Area now. Yeah. But that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question. But that is essentially the deferred sales trust is something that's alternative. That eliminates a lot of the challenges that 1031 has. Works for any asset of any kind. You need to have $1 million net proceeds, $1 million gain. But it really depends on what you're trying to achieve. Ace, do you want to be an entrepreneur or do you want to be retired? Do you want to be diversified or do you want to be more into just your real estate deal? We can customize it to what you want to do. And so it's not a one size fits all, but we have to set it up prior to the close of escrow. And we need to set it up and we need to plan before you close. Unless you're in a 1031, then we can save a failed 1031. But you need to work with us to make sure that's set up. And we love giving people the option to have a backup plan in case their 1031 fails. And so if you're listening to this, if you get one thing out of this, if you're ever going to do a 1031 again, you need to call me, right? Because the worst calls I have, Ace, are this. Hey, Brett, I'm in a 1031 with all those amazing 1031 companies that do all the marketing, but can I use the DST now? I'm running out of time. And I go, well, only if they cooperate with us. And they call them just to find out that they won't cooperate with them. And I go, yeah, if you would have just called me, we would have given you the Netflix 1031 group that allows, you have to return it within 3 days. You can use the DST, you can use the Delaware Statutory Trust, which is another 1031 DST, or you can use our Deferred Sales Trust, and you can have all of those options. And they're like, oh my gosh, well, I wish I would have known that. And so hopefully, if you're hearing this, you're taking actions to get with me on any deal that you're doing so that we can give you options.
Now, I appreciate you saying that. The whole time I was thinking of the movie Jerry Maguire, like, you're just looking around and you're like, where the heck am I and what the heck is going on? Like, I've got something that can honestly help people. And they're just kind of saying, yeah, we don't make money on that. So we're not going to shop that to people. Let's just keep them doing what they're doing. And we're happy. They think they're happy. And honestly, we're doing them a good job. And you're like, no, there is a better way. I don't care what you're saying. I'm going to pursue this. And now this is your business. This is your career. And it's so, my mind is just still blown because I have been in this business for a decade. It's all 1031, 1031, 1031, which is great. Don't get me wrong, but it's great to have more options. I've been recently liquidating some of my properties and I really appreciate you saying that because the whole time I'm like, oh man, am I too late to talk to this guy? And am I too late? But I appreciate you saying, like, just like with a 1031, you got to take care of this before you sell the property. Once you go to escrow, those funds hit your bank, just like you were mentioning an intermediary. And that's essentially a third party that holds these funds. You know, you can't put it in your personal bank account or your business bank account and expect the Fed not to say, hey, 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 where's our cut? And so I appreciate you specifying that too. And I also appreciate you specifying that it needs to be at least $1 million gain as well.
Yeah, let's say come on there. And you can have two to 500 each, by the way. You can have a $500,000 crypto exit and a $500,000 commercial real estate property. We can combine those into ones, right? But that's kind of like the minimum there once you split it. I did a deal in Texas, a $250,000 exit, because he has a $10 million portfolio that he's planning on using the same trust for multiple exits, which is also nice. You can consolidate the equity from the different assets into one. It simplifies your estate plan. It gives you some asset protection.
Okay.
But we could also eliminate estate tax. And so we can do a number of things. Now, the next big question people come up with was, wow, Brett, A, I haven't heard about it. Okay, kind of get that. I'm hearing about it now. But how do I know this thing is legal, right? And so that was the number one thing that we had to overcome for people. And it became our superpower to basically educate CPAs and tax professionals on what this is. Basically, by using evidence. It goes back almost 30 years now, thousands and thousands of closes, billions of assets assets sold using it. But here's the key: over 24 no change formal and actual audits of the structure, also in private letter ruling. National law firms have reviewed it over and over and over again. It's batting 1,000, never once failed. Okay, tens of thousands of tax returns. We have third party tax preparers. Funds are typically held at TD Ameritrade or Charles Schwab. We have, big banks that we work with. We work with great qualified intermediaries too. So I don't want to make them look at all the villains. They're not. And by the way, I think most of them just don't know or don't want to know, to be honest. And a lot of brokers don't know or don't want to know until they're in a bind. And then all of a sudden they do want to know, right? Or their clients are in a bind. But it's like anything else. You just have to see it enough closes. Because I know for me, it's like until I see. And so we can talk about closes. We can talk whatever you'd like on this. But before we go there, I want to take one other thing, the bigger impact here, right? So what I found was it wasn't just about saving 1031 exchanges. what I found as we did more research, and this is according to actually Marcus Amilichap, John Chang head of research, there's about $84 trillion that's set to pass from one generation to the next in the next 20 years.
Silver tsunami.
Yeah, and this is known as the largest transfer of wealth in the history of the planet. In fact, the baby boomers are the biggest part of that. There are about 10,000 of them every single day are turning 65 in the U.S., and there's about 77 million in the U.S. alone, and 50% of the total net worth in America is tied to high-end primary homes, businesses, and commercial real estate. Private equity businesses, so those 50%, those are all illiquid, highly appreciated assets that are in need of what? The baby boomers are a big challenge with estate tax for the ones that are above certain limits. And they want to retire. They want to live their life. They want to do something else. They want to diversify. They don't want to have to go through another 2008 crash. They want to simplify their estate. I mean, there's so many reasons why you don't do a 1031. You use a deferred sales trust. And what's amazing about this, if we could all understand what's at stake here, because I call this the reverse tea party, Ace. Here's the reverse tea party. The regular tea party, a lot of the people before they were officially U.S. citizens, right? They were living under British rule. And they're saying, hey, we're paying all this tax without representation, right? We really don't feel like we have a voice or a vote. And they didn't really have a lot, but they had a lot of grit and a lot of belief in the future. Well, fast forward, America 200 plus years later, now we've got all of this massive wealth known as the largest wealth transfer in the history of the planet happening. So we have a 20-year period of time where what's going to happen to that wealth will determine, we believe, a big part of the freedoms in the future of America with whoever has control of that capital. Okay. Yeah. And no matter what side you vote for, we could all agree they're not very efficient, nor are they very transparent or accountable with a lot of that capital, right?
That's right.
So if you keep it in the hands of the people who can create the jobs, who can build the housing, right? We want to help end the housing crisis. And so we're trying to make this more than just a financial way to save on taxes. That's sure. That's a great way to think about it. But bigger than that is the impact it can make for the country, for the world, for being able to build multifamily housing. That's our number one way to help a crisis that we're focused on, is the funds can flow into and build housing projects, right? Because the only way we're going to solve this $3 to $5 million housing shortage is to build more affordable housing, okay? And so that is the kind of the vision here, is to take, let's just say, $5 trillion over the next 15 years of this transfer, move it into strategies like the deferred sales trust so that it can flow into causes that make a difference in the world, versus either people not selling the assets. If you study opportunity zones, this is the whole concept behind it, or staying inside the taxable estate, and then they're going to get 40% death tax added on to whatever is above the exemptions. Or worst, you stay in that property with too much debt, not enough liquidity, or you overpay for a 1031 and you lose it all. I mean, or you don't sell crypto at a high and you know, if all the crashes. I mean, there's so many reasons why the deferred sales trust is perfectly aligned for these perfect storms, but to make an impact for the country, if that makes sense.
No, I love that. And for people listening, I alluded to the silver tsunami, and you had mentioned that there's this transfer of baby boomers that are getting out of their houses. And we know older people have houses that have appreciated over the 30 plus years they've owned them. And if you and I have been around long enough, that we know that no one's going to take care of us but ourselves. And if we're giving the power to the government or to our financial advisor, and they mean well, but at the same time, if you give your power away, now you're at the will of somebody else other than yourself. And they don't have the best interest of your wife, of your children, of your home, of your life. And, you know, you kind of get caught, you know, Robert Kiyosaki calls it the rat race, but it's a different type of rat race. You're in this prison almost, that you don't understand, that you don't realize you're in. So I love that you're saying that, because as a real estate investor and anybody who's new in real estate, understand this: the government isn't building affordable housing. The government isn't doing improvements to the streets all the time. Like here in Nashville, we have to improve the sidewalks. We have to do the new power poles, the new infrastructure. We pay taxes, and our local government here in Nashville doesn't even put all that money into infrastructure. Like, we as developers are developing the city ourselves. And so by keeping the money with people, whether they're retiring, whether they're building their portfolio and building up their communities. I did a lot of Class C and Class D housing where I went through these neighborhoods and did whole neighborhoods, flipping them to make better living situations for people. It's going to be up to you, Brett, and me to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. I appreciate you specifying that because yes, it's great to save money, but it's not that. There's so much more power behind that. So I really appreciate you sharing that. One thing I want to mention, you have a book out that outlines essentially how to do this. Is that correct?
I do. Yeah. It's called Building a Capital Gains Tax Exit Plan. We actually just hit number one bestseller on Amazon on the real estate category and wealth category. However, I realized that they always say to get in smarter rooms with people, right? To level up. And so I just got in a book with some smarter people, right? Some really amazing people. Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank's in the book. We have Don Winter. We have Joe Fearless. We have Neil Bawa. I mean, these are just some amazing, amazing entrepreneurs, business people, and multifamily operators, developers. There's a couple of financial advisors that are really smart. And the goal of the whole book is to unlock your ideal wealth plan for yourself or for your clients when selling assets of any kind and that are highly appreciated, right? And so it's my story. It's a lot of what we talked about on today's podcast, and it's going to get even more nitty and gritty with the details on how it works and why you want to consider it. Yeah, you can go to Amazon, Building a Capital Gains Tax Exit Plan. And you could also, of course, go to my website, capitalgainstaxsolutions.com, to learn more about all of this.
That's incredible. I appreciate you sharing that. And yeah, once again, for everybody listening, they think, okay, I'm going to pay taxes. What are the two things in life? Death and taxes, right? Those are non-negotiable. However, yes, death, you talked about working out and all that. I can tell you're a very healthy, fit guy. We can prolong our life by making healthy choices, but we can definitely accelerate our financial life by making healthy tax decisions. And all of these things, like you had mentioned, people have been doing it forever. This isn't some snake oil, some trickery. Trust me, the government finds out everything. And you said thousands of transactions are, tens of thousands of transactions already. So I appreciate you dispelling that, because I think we're sold so many times, just this is the way to do it. This is how you do it. In the construction industry, lead paint was used for decades, and the science, quote unquote, backed up that lead paint was safe. Oh, everybody today knows that was a complete lie. And so I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm going to be definitely sharing your name with a lot of people. I want to get you on other podcasts because I honestly feel like this is something that is very important. Word needs to get out there, specific, you know, and it's not even real estate. You had mentioned there's a lot of people in stocks, bonds, crypto, any sort of asset. And just what is a good way for people to reach out to you? What's like the easiest way for somebody to get a hold of you?
Yeah, the website is Capital Gains Tax Solutions. You can also go to my YouTube channel. We have a ton of free content on the difference between the 1031 exchange and the deferred sales trust, and the difference between a Delaware statutory trust and a deferred sales trust. So YouTube channel, Capital Gains Tax Solutions, or just my website, capitalgainstaxsolutions.com. Instagram, Brett_Swartz, Swartz. You can also find me there. I put a lot of content out there as well.
That's incredible, man. Well, I'd be amiss if I didn't ask you some superhero questions before we go. So are you game for some superhero fun?
Absolutely, Ace. Let's go.
Awesome. Well, Brett, I don't know if you have a nickname or a superhero name yet, but if you don't, what would your superhero name be?
Swartzy is what my last name, but more than that, by made a Swartz be with you. If you ever seen this show, Spaceballs. Sometimes if you're really close buddy of mine, you might say, there's another line in there that I actually won't say, but yeah, it's that's maybe the superhero, I guess, because that's where most of my friends growing up would call me, Swartz. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, may the Swartz be with you.
Yeah.
Awesome. And we talked about, obviously, taxes are one of your superpowers. That's for sure. But it's so much more than tax savings. So what are just a couple of your superpowers?
Yeah, so I think we've all been given certain gifts in this life, and these gifts have been given us to be a blessing and help to others. And so my two main primary gifts are the ability to encourage with action. So you might say it's coaching, or you might say it's inspiration. And I think it's a belief and an encouragement in others to lift them up and to help them take action. So, you know, that's maybe it's a mix between sales, mix between persuasion mixed between just, you know, trying to, you know, build other people up. So I think that's definitely one of the gifts I have. I think my wife would say my other gift would be, my mom and my wife would probably say like debate, right? You know what I mean? I like a good debate. So I guess those would be the two, I would say.
Oh, that's incredible. No, I love it. So the power to empower other people. And debate itself too is just, you know, anyone that it's not conflict. There is a little bit of friction with debate, but I guess being from California and now in Florida, there is a ton to debate just within probably your family and community, right? Just they might be on other sides of the country, but they can't be. They are such different states as well, night and day. So I think a good debate, I think in our political climate these days, in our PC world, it's hard to have a good debate, right? Like, it doesn't mean one person is right. That's the great thing about a debate, right? It's not one person is right and the other person's wrong. It's multifaceted. There's many levels. And the great thing about debating is, one, you might be able to, you know, change someone's opinion on something and broaden their horizon. But at the same time, as the person debating, you get to broaden your perspective. You get to see things from the other side of the road. And I love that. I used to fear debating with people because I thought it was just, you know, yes, no, black, white. But debate itself, man, we can get into debate for quite
a
while.
Yeah, Ray Dalio says it well, by the way. If you ever read that book, Principles, it's really cool. He talked about surrounding yourself with thoughtful people who disagreed. That's the key. Thoughtful people that disagreed with him. And that was great because it helped him to see his blind spots when he's walking through the jungle of life or a business. And if you're not surrounding yourself with thoughtful people who may have a different opinion or a different point of view, then it's hard to see all of the different blind spots. And so I think that's really important for growth as a leader, growth as as a business person, to be willing to engage in thoughtful disagreement with people that are respectful and have a great point of I think thoughtful is the key, right? Making sure that you're spending your time with folks who spend a lot of thought and time on why they believe what they believe, then I think it creates healthy debate.
Exactly. Now, you know, this is probably the most interesting conversation I've ever had around taxes. Like, this is incredible. You are just a wealth of knowledge. I really appreciate everything you've said because it hits me personally on so many different levels. One last superhero question. Who are some of your real life superheroes?
Okay. So first starts with my mom. Parents divorced when I was young. That was really tough because we saw both sides of the silver spoon and I guess the wooden spoon, because my dad didn't really pay child support, but I would go to my dad's place and build houses during the summers, and the Harleys and the boats and all the, you know, camping and all the cool Corvettes and all that. And then go back to my mom and be like, we have no money because dad's not paying child support. My mom's still working, you know, as a nurse and getting, you know, keeping everything going there. And she just loved us so well. And she kept telling us to pray and bless my dad, despite, let's say, some of the challenges of the divorce and challenges that we're surrounded by. So she is my superhero, because without my mom, my relationship wouldn't be as close as my dad. And I love my dad. And my dad taught me a lot of things about hard work, being an entrepreneur, you know, common sense, pushing forward, grit. So love mom and dad. We have a great relationship now. But she is my superhero for that main reason. I would say my coaches, you know, basketball, football coaches growing up. I would say my youth pastor, growing up. That's like real life, you know, and then I would say, those people. And then I would say even real life or bigger life, right? A spiritual life is Jesus. You know, he's my Lord and Savior. He saved me. He's redeemed me. And he's brought me, away from things that would have destroyed me. And so those are my superpowers or my superheroes.
I love that.
Giving me the superpowers, I guess, if you will. Right.
I love that. Now, I've been watching the show, The Chosen, and it has been, oh man, so incredible. Just love it so much. So I'm right there with you. And I'm assuming you're probably a Warriors fan as well. I'm hoping.
So let's talk about that. So I'm a 49er fan for life, no matter what.
Like, yes.
Okay, love 49ers. It's our year this year. Prairie's back, baby. His arm looking good. Number two, I'm a Sacramento Kings fan.
Okay.
Because I did grow up in the Bay. You know, the parents got divorced, then I moved to Sacramento and I split time. So I fell in love with the Kings. And Chris Webber, Mike Bibby, Peja, like the glory years. And so, and we're on the rise too, baby. We're going to beat the Warriors this year. Watch, this year, we're going to beat the Warriors in the playoffs. You mark it here. I'm saying it. So those are my two teams. Yeah. Love Duke basketball too. If you're a Duke fan, I'm a big, I play basketball in everyone's sport. So that's like the thing. Like if I didn't play basketball, you know, every day my knees wouldn't fall off, I would be playing it. That's what I love.
And I'm right there with you, man. We're going to have so much more to talk about here in the future. I just absolutely love it. You are such an interesting person.
Oh, thanks.
And you add so much value, way more than just taxes. I just really appreciate your time here. And I'm excited to keep this conversation going at some point for sure.
Appreciate it, Ace. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, of course, man. Hey, before we go, if there was one thing, I know we talked about a whole bunch of things. We talked about taxes, but we talked about also cheesecake, basketball. There's so many different things. But if you could leave the audience with just one thing, whether it's a quick tool, a quick strategy, or just an idea or a thought, what would you leave the audience with?
I think the concept of, you know, continuing to learn to work harder on ourselves than we do on our jobs. Our jobs could be a number of different things. If you're listening to this, right, you could be in college, you could be at your job, you could be at the W-2 that Ace was talking about. You could be at your thriving business, right? Your multi-million dollar business that you're going to exit. And if we work harder on our jobs, we'll make a living, that's fine. But we work harder on ourselves, we'll make a fortune. And the fortune is not just in the money. That's important because we can help a lot of people, but it's in the development of our character, our health, our finances, our fitness, our faith, right? Our family, all of those other things that are the internal part of us, right? That are going to be lasting for a legacy and that lasts forever versus the temporary, right? We're so focused. I know I was, hey, get that basketball scholarship or get that academic scholarship or get that job at Marcus & Millichap or, you know, get that degree or all these different things that were external. But if I had focused internal more on the leadership and the character and the faith at a younger age or any age, every age, right? Then we're sowing into eternal things forever, right? So always be practicing learning to work harder on yourself than you do on your job. If you work harder on your job, you'll make a living. You work harder on yourself and make a fortune.
I love that. And that is said so beautifully. I am not even going to make my own comment on that because you just said that. That was phenomenal. I'm going to re-listen to this and write that down for sure. So, all right, Brett. Well, once again, I really, really appreciate having you on. For everybody listening, check out his website, Capital Gains Tax Solutions. Go to his YouTube channel, Capital Gains Tax Solutions, and go to his Instagram where you can find out more information about him and all his amazing services at Brett_Swartz. Well, I know our time is up here, but man, once again, I just really appreciate having you on.
Thanks, Ace. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Well, for everybody listening, this is the Superhero by Design podcast. Thank you so much for checking this out. You could be doing anything with your life. You could do anything, but you chose to spend your time here with me. So I do not take that for granted. I truly appreciate your time. And remember, with great power, there must also come great responsibility. And like that, he's gone. Ace out.